I Suck at Dating with Dean Ungler, an iHeartRadio podcast.
You're saying hello to everybody.
Hello, everyone. I'm trying to think of unique ways to start this.
This is your 15th show. You should know how to say hi.
15th show. My old lucky number. That was my lucky number in high school for at least a couple months because Carmelo Anthony wore number 15.
And,
you know, I was a big Nuggets fan back in the day. Not anymore. But thank you for tuning in. Joined in studio again by, you know him, you love him, Mark and Easton. Special
hi.
Guest. Yeah, say hi, Mark.
Hello, hi.
Hey, hi. Special guest in studio today, too, a good friend of mine from high school who lives here in Los Angeles, and we are rekindling our friendship, so he's joining us in studio. Taylor, you want to say hi?
Hello.
All right, cool.
All right. happy to be here, Dean. Thanks.
Yep. Hey, happy to have you. So we have a good episode today. We're going to be responding to a few more emails, as we typically do. Love those emails because, you know, it really just, I guess, shows to me that people are even listening to this thing because...
Yeah.
That just makes me feel good.
And great stories and situations, and they need help, and they turn to you. They say, help, Dean.
You know, for some reason, the fact that people confide in me for dating advice still blows my mind. I'll, like, even get, like, DMs or tweets at me that are saying, like, hey, Dean, I need dating advice. I'm just saying to myself, why are you asking me for dating advice?
But, you know, it's true that some people that have that give great advice have trouble following it themselves.
Sure.
I think it's great.
Do as I say, not as I say.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
And I will say that... I can see the benefit of getting a 26-year-old's perspective on the dating pool in today's America. Because a lot of these girls, I don't think, have that outlet to have an unbiased opinion from a 26-year-old male to kind of tell them maybe what's going on. What's going on well and what's not going on well.
So we have a theme this week.
Okay.
Last week we had breakups. This week's theme is dating apps.
Great.
Very common situation. Before we get to that, let's see what's in the news. Oh, Dean's in the news.
Oh, good.
Wow, look at that. Dean Ungler is all over the news. Now, this is fun because Dean gets really uncomfortable in this situation because there are certain things he can say and certain things he can't say.
Most of the things I can't say, so.
Well, I can just say this then. I found an article on usweekly.com that says The Bachelorette's Dean Ungler is dating Bachelor alum Leslie Murphy.
It's weird.
And that they were hanging out at the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah on Friday night. They were holding hands, walking through a party, looking very much like a couple, talking only to each other. This was on E! This was on Us Weekly. This was all over the place. I found another article. 7 facts you need to know about Dean Ungler's new girlfriend, Leslie Murphy. So, can you confirm you are dating someone?
What I can say is I was at Sundance this past weekend. Great, great time. Park City's beautiful. They got some snow, so I got to snowboard a little bit.
Oh, nice.
I think that Leslie Murphy was there, too.
There's pictures of her there, so I think we can confirm that she was there.
Yeah, we can confirm that she was physically present at Sundance.
We can confirm that you were there. Can we confirm that you're in a relationship with someone? No? Okay.
No, we can't really confirm anything.
All right. And are you being coy, or are you just obeying the rules that were laid down by ABC, in which you can't talk about anything that may or may not happen on Winter Games?
What I can confirm is that Winter Games is going to be awesome, and I think that you, as a listener, and Mark, and Easton, and Taylor should all tune in to watch.
Yeah.
And then maybe, you know, in a month or so from now, I can start to confirm some things.
Okay, so you're not just being coy. I know that when you do these shows, you have to sign certain agreements.
My life is currently owned by ABC right now.
Right, okay. So once that's all in the past, we'll be able to hear more about this.
Or we won't hear more about it, depending. I don't know what the current situation... I mean, I know what the current situation is, but you guys not knowing on the outside doesn't... You know, we'll see.
Plus, even if you were there, are you not allowed to, like, walk next to someone or hold hands with someone that you're hanging out with? You
know? Yeah.
Holding hands seems a little bit of a bigger step than walking next to.
I hold hands with all my friends.
Do you?
Yeah.
We held hands in the car on the way over here.
Oh, sure enough.
Mark, you kind of nailed it on the head. This makes me uncomfortable. Just because... just because I don't want to... overstep my boundaries. I don't want
absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
You know. But I'll tell you what, I'm happy.
That's great.
Yeah? I think that's the most important
thing. That's all that matters.
Right.
Should we, if we're going to change the title of this show, would it happen soon? Help I Suck at Dating?
Yeah.
Maybe help dating transition sucks. To Help I Suck at Relationships? Well, we'll see.
Well,
the season 2 rebranding.
Something else I thought we should talk about. Tanya, who's going to come in here in a minute,
yeah,
is meeting with a matchmaker next week.
Okay.
A professional matchmaker.
Nice.
Before she could do that, she was asked to bring a list of things she needs to see in a man that she wants to date. For her, it was faith, it was family, it was 5'4 or above.
Oh.
Because she's 5'4, so she didn't want anybody shorter than her.
I would say 99.9% of the male population
yes,
falls
so
in
that's
that.
Good. Okay. Anyway, she had this list. So I was going to ask you the sort of things that are on your list that you would like to see in a woman as apparently still single Dean who's still trying to find a partner. What are the kinds of things you're looking for in a woman?
Thinking from single Dean's perspective, I don't know how to handle this. All right. Well, I guess what I can say before jumping into that is that I'm not single. Because
oh.
I think it is ousted via E! News, Us
yeah,
Weekly.
I just read it.
I'm not single.
Oh.
Okay. Well, we'll just say that.
Okay.
Right. But as single Dean, putting myself in those shoes, you know, rewound 2 months, 3 months, however long ago that I wasn't single since the last time. I know it's been so long, I can't even remember. Are we talking about like personality traits, physical traits?
Could be anything. Here's an example of somebody who sent one in. This is her perfect man list. She keeps it on her in her notes app on her phone. Tall, funny, intelligent but not arrogant, athletic, dog lover, good friends, cute butt. So there's physical as well.
Cute butt.
Family guy. I'm assuming not the show, but he's actually a family
yeah,
guy.
Yeah.
Not an only child. Like, that's pretty specific. Enjoys drinking, but doesn't get angry when he drinks. I think she's maybe coming off a bad relationship.
This is
a woman who sent in her list for Tanya, so like she can compare and contrast. So I don't know how to say who it is, but it's just a listener. Very giving, enjoys helping others, has future goals, is very secure with who he is available, and is respectful of others. So it's a wide range of personality traits, physical traits, everything.
That was like 13 points there.
So you're thinking your list would be shorter than that.
Yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, I can come up with a couple. I love someone that has a personality. I think that's – I just realized this not too long ago that a personality, it's kind of rare to even come by. Someone that just is unique in their own way. You know, a lot of people just kind of conform to what society tells them to do, and it's fine. It gets them what they needed to get to in life, and they're happy, et cetera, et cetera. But like a personality where someone is, like vibrant and personable and can create conversation out of thin air, like that's pretty rare to come by these days. And I think that really is important to me. Someone that is decisive. I like someone that can make decisions. And I think that comes from me not liking to make decisions. So if someone can make the decisions for me, because I'm a pretty easygoing guy, and so it doesn't really take a lot to kind of like sway my interest to be into something. So if someone's like, let's go do this, I'll be like, yeah, 100%, let's go do that. So that's important to me. I think physically speaking, I don't really have much of a type, or like there's no real barrier to entry physically speaking.
Right. You might prefer a hair color over another, but that's not a deal breaker.
I don't think I even prefer a hair color. Mm-hmm. I've really noticed, this might be oversharing, I've really noticed that. Actually, I'm not going to say that. Okay.
No. Come on.
I think, I'm a big snuggler, right?
Uh-huh.
And so, like, physical touch is my number one love language. And that really boils down to, like when I'm dating someone and when we're, like, sharing a bed together at night, I like to kind of, like, wrap myself up with them as, like, a pretzel. And what I've weirdly noticed is that blondes, when there's skin-on-skin contact, of just, like, snuggling, there's more sweat. I don't know if it's like a genetic thing.
Blondes sweat more, you're saying?
Just, yeah, I've noticed this.
I wasn't sure where you're going with this.
And it's like, it's not like a profuse, we're not like sitting in a swamp or anything like that, but it's just like, you know, it kind of gets sweaty.
I don't know if we have any natural blondes around here. Erica, are you a natural blonde?
Am I a natural blonde? Yeah, but not this blonde.
Do you sweat a lot?
What?
More than like a brunette would.
Maybe.
Do you do?
I don't like judge my sweat levels with brunettes. Like that's not something we do.
It's hard to compare to others how much you sweat. But do you sweat a lot?
Sure.
Hmm. Eh? Well,
I'm interested in this data though, Dean, because I'm married to a natural blonde.
Okay.
And she does not sweat any more than she doesn't sweat at all. I've noticed.
Okay.
That could just be what I induce in her. I just don't. You know, I could just need to be putting in more work. But That's an interesting, I don't know, it's an interesting conclusion to draw.
Or just be like me and don't snuggle at all. And just
well, see, I have
cold
to snuggle.
And remove.
And see, so my thing is, I'm not a
no sweater
at all. I don't sweat at all.
Me either.
Very, very rarely will I sweat. And so maybe that makes me hyper aware of the sweat that's around me at certain times.
Does it gross you out or is it just an observation?
It's just, it leads to uncomfortableness or uncomfortability, which makes like snuggling harder and sleeping a little bit more difficult too. And again, I'm just talking out of my ass here. I don't necessarily know exactly.
We need a scientific analysis.
This is not data-backed by any means.
I'm going to be looking this up and see if there's any truth to this theory.
From my own personal experience, that's kind of what I've noticed.
Here comes Tanya.
Hey, Tanya.
Tanya.
Well, let's not dwell. I don't want to dwell on this. Well, let's move on to the next
thing. Well, we have one more person that we found. So we could. Are you blonde naturally?
Yes, but not this blonde.
That's exactly what Erica said. Do you sweat a lot?
A lot. Yes, I do.
Okay. Oh. Maybe there is something to this. Dean has decided that blondes that he's been with sweat more than non-blondes that he's been with.
Interesting. Yeah, I sweat a lot.
Again, back to the original point.
You don't want to be the blonde.
Exactly. All right. That's not the case whatsoever. I've just noticed in my experience with and me like knowing what I like in terms of the physical affection that I require, it's harder to snuggle with a blonde for that reason.
That's so funny.
It's weird. I know it's weird. Let me be the first to say it's weird.
But, I don't just like perspire when I'm standing around.
So my thing was, I was just talking to Mark and Easton about this. It's like when there's skin to skin contact, like when you're spooning or something like that, it creates like a sweat pocket. And it's like when you like sit with like no shirt on in a leather chair or something like that. And like you get up and you're just like peels off the leather chair. Or
Do you ever ask to be a little spoon?
Oh my God, all the time.
Would that help with the sweat equation or no?
Well, then it's just my back has sweat on it instead of my stomach having sweat on it.
I'm just trying to problem solve, you know?
I think sweat compatibility is very important in a successful relationship. Easton clearly has it. He just said that him and his wife don't sweat when they're snuggling.
No, we process energy differently. She always says that instead of sweating, she shoots sugar cubes out of her belly button.
Wait, what? Wow. Where does that come from? Why is it sugar cubes? How do you, the belly button?
That's just what she explains.
That's funny.
That's cute.
It is very cute. I don't sweat that much either. I do a lot from under the arms, but I'm also not a blonde, so I don't know what you're looking for with me, but I'm not the one on trial here.
People call me a blonde more frequently than they should. I don't know why. People are like, are you blonde or brunette? I'm like, well, I'm definitely brunette.
Well, because your hair's like...
I think it's kind of shiny.
Well, it's a light brown, which is considered like dirty blonde.
Well, here's the thing. I sweat like a brown haired person.
Just let everybody know that.
Which means not very much at all. But some people still mistake me as a blonde.
Hmm.
And I'm like, no, you can snuggle with me and I promise I won't sweat that much.
Weird.
This conversation got weird real fast.
Yeah, you're so weird.
What else? What other?
We were talking about your list, Tanya.
Yeah.
For the matchmaker.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're asking Dean, what's on his list?
Oh.
Yeah.
So far, he hasn't had much.
Personality, decisiveness.
Yes. He likes a unique personality, a person like who knows who they are and is not afraid to be that.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Decisiveness.
I think, again, I'm very easygoing to where I don't need someone to be of a certain faith or of a certain... age, career, whatever it is. I just, you know, as long as you can mesh well with someone, I think that's the most important thing.
So you don't care. Would you date a 20-year-old?
If it felt right.
Would you date a 40-year-old?
If it felt right, absolutely. Okay. Right. I wouldn't judge someone for their age.
I like it.
I don't know. What's on your list, Tanya?
Faith, family, job. Those are like my main.
So would you date someone that doesn't confine into the ideal faith that you need them to have?
We had a long chat about this.
Yeah.
Because you hear that often, I guess is the question. You hear a lot of people are always like, I really want someone that's very devout in the whatever they follow.
Ideally, it would be nice if he was the same faith as me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a deal breaker. I just want someone that has faith.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. A lot of people now say, like, I'm very spiritual or whatever.
A lot of that. I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. Yeah. I never go to church, but I'm spiritual.
Right.
A lot.
Yeah. Like, if he's down to pray with me, you know, maybe come to church with me, those are all good things.
So what if it's someone that doesn't have this incredible faith but is open-minded enough to at least give it a shot with you?
I'd be down with that.
Would you be almost more down for that? Someone that's willing to compromise to want to... be more of the person that you want them to be through that avenue, I guess. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, we don't need to dive into it too much, but that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
What else is on my list? Let's think about that for a second. I don't know. There's no height requirement. I would be hard to date someone that's taller than me, but I don't think I've ever met a girl that's taller
than
me.
There's no body requirements? Full-chested, flat-chested, you don't care?
No.
I know. I had the same discussion with Mark, and he was trying to like get me to pinpoint down fit, and I'm like, physical really doesn't matter so much to me. I mean, there needs to be an attraction, correct?
And you're attracted to certain kinds more than others?
No,
not necessarily. Mm-mm. Okay,
yeah.
And I think it's a note when you see it, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think we talked about this in like episode 3 very early on. I'm not a very sexually driven person. So it's not like physical, I guess, presence really doesn't mean much to me, because sex isn't the driving factor of any relationship for me.
That's interesting. The physical touch is your number one love language, and yet you don't feel like you're a sexual priority.
Well, I think physical touch and sex are different.
Yeah, very different.
In my eyes. And that's kind of why, before I even knew what love languages were, I was so hesitant to tell people that love or that physical touch was my favorite thing, because I automatically associated that with like sex and all that kind of stuff
mm-hmm,
too.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case at all, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Like for me, fit is on my list too. I don't need someone that's like has a six pack and like crazy muscles. It's not fit. It's like enjoys having a fitness lifestyle, mm-hmm. because I like to work out and I like to, you know, do active things, and I live a fit lifestyle.
Especially lately, you live a very fit lifestyle.
Yeah. So I want a partner that, you know, has that same kind of lifestyle desire.
Yeah. I think another one for mine is adventurousness.
Mm-hmm.
That's a word. Someone that's adventurous. I think that's important. Someone that likes to explore.
Someone that likes to travel.
Someone that likes
to
travel.
I saw that somewhere on a description of somebody.
Maybe if someone's like, I don't know, traveling all the time, going to cool places.
Yeah.
And wanted to share those experiences with me, because I like to travel. I'm curious.
Yeah.
I think curiosity is very important.
And you know what? It's important to know what you want. So you are a step ahead, Dean.
No, that's the thing. I don't know what I want. Well, I know what I want, but I'm still learning a lot about what else I want. I don't know. You know?
Taylor, you've known Dean for a long time.
Yes.
Were you close in high school?
Yeah, we were like best friends. You spent like, oh God, like 6 days a week at my house probably.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so
wow.
cute.
Well, yeah. You guys know, I mean, my high school experience, familial-wise speaking, was a little bit rough, so I spent a lot of time at Taylor's house.
Yeah. Sure. Well, my house was on the same road as the high school, so a lot of people would just come by and eat all my food and leave, and Dean was one of the ones that would stay.
There's so many milestones in Dean's life, and many of them tragic, and I asked about Hunter. You weren't in the room, but I asked Taylor if he knew Hunter. He said he didn't. He came after Hunter
passed.
He
came like right after, I think, like a year after, maybe. Maybe even less.
You came in what, 7th grade?
8th grade.
8th grade. So
but when Dean
years.
Was losing his mom, you were there for that? And
yeah.
He was and kind of somebody to lean on during a lot of that?
Yeah. I mean, I remember her. You know, I met her multiple times.
It was lots of friend time. Like I said, when I lean on in those moments were my friends, and he was a constant in my life at that time, which was great. What's funny is we both had a crush on the same girl for a large part of high school.
Oh God. Yeah.
And
the reason why I can't pronounce a certain word.
What's even funnier is she was my very first guest on this podcast.
Yeah, no, I remember. Someone told me about that, and I was like, oh yeah. I remember that distinctly.
Yeah, that was an interesting.
Wait,
experience.
What word can you not pronounce? I missed that.
Well, it's a certain
everyone
certain
knows her name,
candy.
Right? Is it okay to say the name? Caramel.
Oh.
People say caramel, and I'm always like, caramel.
Remember we had caramel on the
I do remember.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. Yes.
She's been in a relationship now for like 7 years or something like that.
Yeah. Doesn't she live on like a lake or something?
Did she date both of you?
Oh, no. No, I never.
No love triangle.
Never was.
But she was.
Never got there.
Well, it's tough to compete with Dean. I mean, I mean, I don't envy you for that.
She was a big point of contention for a lot of guys in our high school, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, she's exactly what you're talking about. She had that. She was very distinct, and she had a very particular personality, and was kind of like this mystique about her. She just did random stuff, you know. I don't know. Like that, it felt like everything that she did was very thoughtless. Not in a bad way, but like that's just who she was.
Carefree.
Yeah. Carefree. Not thoughtless. Carefree. Yeah.
Impetuous. She just does her thing whenever she
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah,
but you're in a relationship now.
Yeah.
For how long?
Oh God. Yes. 20th was like 4 years.
Oh wow.
4 or 5 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds rock solid.
Yeah.
And did
great.
And you just moved out here in November of 16 to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Then she came with you?
Yeah. And we met at school in New York. We went to school together in New York. So.
You're very handsome.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I try.
Tanya, he's talking about his girlfriend
I'm
right
just
now.
Saying.
That's the time to blurt that out?
For people that are listening, I'm just giving them a visual.
Well, describe him then. Describe Taylor.
You remind me of Tarzan.
Oh, I get that all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah, I've gotten my girlfriend. This is like a mushy anecdote, but my girlfriend actually reached out to me in college. She sent me a Facebook message saying like, "Hey, hi, I'm so and so," and for the longest time, her and her friends had known me around campus as Tarzan, and that's what they'd call me because I had my long hair then.
Yeah.
And just walk around, shirtless in a loincloth, and
I
just walk around, and that's how they knew me. And I'd seen her, but like I didn't know her. We didn't have any classes together. She's a year younger than me, and then she just messaged me on Facebook once, and I was like, yeah, we should go hang out.
Yeah.
And she took me to a film festival that first date, and so that was a good good
movie. Good first date.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm like obsessed with movies.
Is that a good first date? Tanya has strong opinions on first dates.
I do. I don't love it for first, maybe a second. But
well, no, Taylor's
movies are tough.
Taylor's a cinephile.
Cinephile.
Cinephobe. Cinephile. That's what it is.
Yeah. No,
then that's a great first date.
That was really good. And it was like a indie movie that they made for like, you know, no money in New York or whatever. So
probably was horrible, like, but Taylor found it. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, if I was like in trouble in the jungle, I would like want Taylor there.
He looks like Tarzan in the sense that he's tall and he's muscular and he has long hair.
Yeah.
So it's really, if you picture Tarzan in a green t-shirt, that's pretty much what you got.
Taylor in high school got like 20 D1 football scholarship offers, and he said no to every single one of them so he could pursue a career in, what, writing, I guess?
I would like to do like writing, film, acting. Basically, I said in the car, I was like, I'd like to be Donald Glover, but maybe not with the rap album.
It's just, it was just
still working on my rap skills.
Because because he's just like, what are you, 6'5", 6'6"?
6'6".
What? And so he was like, and he was this tall in high school too, so he's very physically imposing, which means he was very good at football, basketball, all these things. And he had all these opportunities to go to these schools and be an athlete, but instead he decided to pursue this passion that is writing and acting and all that kind of stuff, which is great. I mean, you like, I wanted to commend you for that because a lot of people wouldn't. It's not like I'm.
No. Yeah. I was just tell that to my dad and my student loans.
Right.
Well, but that's interesting. I mean, your parents had to be okay with that, right? Because there's so much harm that can come to you playing football in college.
I'm half Samoan, and so that's a whole, you know, it's a very interesting thing because I feel like for a lot of people, especially like of Samoan descent or in Samoa, they see it. They're classically of a less, you know, wealthy demographic or whatever, and so often, like my dad went to school for a full scholarship in basketball.
Right.
My uncles, my aunts, my cousins, like tons of people go.
It's tough to turn down something you're offered.
Exactly, and so I totally understand from that perspective why my dad really wanted me to do that, and I just couldn't see myself personally from the way I am and like my characteristics, what I like doing, going to something every day that I don't love completely.
You seem gentle.
I literally was just going to say you're like the gentle giant.
Oh, well,
that was literally my thought.
I mean, I think that's a compliment. It's nice to be kind. And
what
stuff.
Position
and,
did you play?
The end.
God, D end.
Yeah, you can't be D end and be gentle.
Tight end, you know. I was really annoyed during basketball because I was always like one of the tallest. They always put me down in post. And I was like, I'd totally be like a three power forward or something.
Yeah, well.
They never passed me anyway, though. So. I totally forgot about it. I'm not bitter at all.
But so you went to college in New York.
Yeah, yeah.
And studied film.
No. Oh, God. So it just comes to the whole thing because I love learning. I love so many things. I ended up studying Spanish language and classical literature.
Wow.
So it has absolutely no bearing on what I do right now, which is not very much.
Now I think I can see your parents' frustration a little bit.
Yeah, no, exactly. But, yeah.
And then you finally moved to L.A. at age 24 or so.
I think I was 25.
Okay.
I think. And then I saved a bunch of money. I lived in Colorado, obviously.
But that's right. Our birthdays are one day apart.
Yeah. April 16th, April 15th.
17th.
Yeah.
Got it wrong.
So we were really close. 15th. Sorry. That was Emma. That's why I forget about.
Oh, you dated her for a while.
I did.
Emma was the 15th. Taylor's the 16th.
You're the 17th. Sorry about that.
It's okay. I'm just really upset about it.
I'm
just like one of your oldest friends.
Ow. It's the first time we've seen each other in a while, though. So we're
shaking the cobwebs off.
Yeah, exactly. It's like riding a bike.
So you saved a bunch of money, and what are you doing here?
I want to do writing. I've been doing some freelance writing, not very much, but just going to like, you know, that whole thing, like meetings. Or like, will this happen? Won't this happen? Mm-hmm. Maybe.
But not acting. You don't want to do that?
I do want to do that. It's just like. I've taken some classes, but I would like to do more, you know, and I feel like I take everything pretty seriously, and I don't want to just approach anything being like, oh, I'm just going to show up and whatever, you know, I feel like it is a craft and stuff.
Like, you don't want to just like show up and like be a guest on a podcast for a day.
Well, I mean, I love podcasts. This is like my dream. I listen to podcasts like all day, so I'm really, really excited.
What were you listening to last night, Tanya?
Help I Suck at Dating, Scrubbing In with Becca Tilly, Almost Famous.
No, I was actually listening to a podcast. Can I say it?
Yeah, sure.
It's about constipation.
What?
Can I say it?
Constipation.
And what did you learn?
Is it like this is the whole thing? Like the weekly, every week is about
this? No, he's like a naturopath, like doctor. So it was like remedies to help constipation, natural ways to help constipation. 11 ways,
actually. Did you feel like it was educational?
Yeah, okay. Totally.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did he mention whether blondes or brunettes are more likely to become constipated?
No, he didn't mention that.
Okay. Not that blonde.
Yeah.
All right. Well. one way to avoid constipation, you guys, is to eat healthy. Just the better you eat, the more, you know, the better your digestive system works.
Diet is definitely a part of
very, very important. And you want to know one way to have the best diet possible?
How?
Is to order through HelloFresh and just have these pre-packaged meals delivered straight to your house.
Oh, yeah, and they're fresh.
You've done it. You've used the HelloFresh before, haven't
yes.
you? And you love it.
I do love it.
You rave about it.
I do.
So for those listeners that are unaware of what HelloFresh is, it's basically a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers your favorite step-by-step recipes, ingredients, all that kind of stuff. So you can cook your meals on your own terms, whenever you want. You know you're getting the right amount of portions, the perfect amount of veggies, meats, all that kind of stuff, proteins. They're creative. They're delicious. They're nutritional. They're the perfect portion. My favorite's the Juicy Lucy Burger with tomato, onion, jam, and arugula. And there's a lobster ravioli and shrimp with tomatoes and tarragon. Cream sauce, which is a premium selection.
Wow. Mm,
love that premium selection. They typically take less than 30 minutes to make, and there's really no cleanup because you have exactly the ingredients you need to cook the meal that they deliver to you. And if you use my code UNGLERT30 at HelloFresh.com, you'll get $30 off your very first week. That's UNGLERT30, UNGLERT30. And that's HelloFresh.com. You'll get $30 off your very first week. You'll feel more confident in the kitchen, and you'll be saving money. I think I mentioned last week I've been cooking a lot more. And the whole reason behind that is because of HelloFresh. It's been great. We just moved in the new house. I got a big kitchen to use.
Oh, that's so cute.
We got a little island to prepare things on.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm, you know, I'm cooking. Again, I don't know if I'm in a relationship or not, but
right,
if I was.
Right, you did say we in that house.
Do you have roommates? Don't you have roommates?
I do have roommates.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
But I'm just
got
saying.
Got you, Dean.
You know, I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to be a better person in 2018, and that involves being better at cooking.
So wait, you just got a new place?
Yeah, we moved like a month ago.
We being you and the roommates?
Me and my roommates, yes.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
Because roommates don't typically go from place to place together. Maybe I'm crazy, but that seems like.
Right, no, that's true. That's
yeah.
Good.
No. Yeah, my roommate, so I've lived with these guys together for 1 year. One of the guys I lived with for the past 2.5 years, and he just purchased a place in Venice, and we both decided to be basically his tenants in his house with
oh,
him.
Oh, wow.
And,
so fun.
I mean, I don't know if it's fun is the right word to describe it, but I'd justify it by I'd rather pay his mortgage than some random landlord's mortgage, you know?
Totally.
Yeah. And it's a cool house.
Good for you.
Well, good for him for owning a house.
Good for all of you. HelloFresh.
Yeah. HelloFresh.com.
UNGLERT30, UNGLERT30. $30 off your first week.
So we're a half an hour into the show, and we haven't gotten to our theme yet this week, which is dating apps, but we're now being joined by someone from Bumble who's going to answer any questions we have about Bumble and how it all works.
I hope you guys have some questions prepared.
I love you. It's like weird.
But you want to know what's funny is you guys can still be using Bumble to network professionally, to be meeting BFFs.
That's true.
I'm sure Alex would love to tell us about all of that stuff. Here she is, Dean.
Hey, Alex, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, this is Dean. How are you?
Dean, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling in. I'm joined in studio, I guess, with Easton, Mark, Tanya, Taylor. So you got a full crew. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, wow. It sounds like a party.
It's a party, and you're missing out. But at least we have you on the phone. It's, you know, it could be worse. So can you tell us a little bit more? So we were just kind of discussing roundtable a little bit about Bumble. What's your role over at Bumble right now?
I'm head of brand. So basically I oversee anything that the brand is involved in. I oversee marketing activations and campaigns on a larger scale and also the customer experience. I've been with Bumble since the very beginning when we launched. So I, alongside with our CEO and founder, Whitney Wolf, really came up with the voice and personality of Bumble.
Gotcha. So you were the one that greenlit us being able to do an ad for Bumble on this podcast. That's an interesting decision.
you're welcome. No.
Yeah. We love our sponsors. Alex, thank you so much for greenlighting that. That's just great. Okay, so tell us a little bit about Bumble. I mean, we're well aware of the app itself, but maybe for the listener that's a little less informed, because it's not just another run-of-the-mill dating app, right?
We aren't just another dating app. We really are a mission-based company. Our goal is to change the dynamics of relationships by having, in heteronormative relationships, women make the first move. And while that may seem like a gimmick, it actually does change the approach of introductions. And when the ball is in the woman's court and she makes the first move, there's less aggression online. And we actually, which is unheard of for dating apps, we have a less than 1% reports of any sort of abuse or harassment in Bumble. And I think that really is a testament to what we're trying to do, which is give women more control over their dating lives. You know, historically, women have been told to sit on their hands and wait for a man or, you know, or anybody to make the first move. And a lot of times women give their power over immediately in relationships, and we're trying to bring that power back for women. Mm-hmm. But actually, in the past year, we've moved beyond just being a dating app. We have Bumble BFF, which launched back in March 2016. It's all been kind of a whirlwind, honestly. And then we have Bumble Biz, actually, which launched in October. And this is for networking and friendship finding. So Bumble really is more of an introduction app now than it is. It's a social network over just being a dating app.
And that's great. And I don't use dating apps anymore, as we discussed earlier in this podcast, because I'm not allowed to. But Tanya's in the studio. She uses them. And I will say that as a former user of dating apps, I always found Bumble to be the most successful for whatever reason. I guess with the woman having to, the opportunity to reach out first kind of leads to more success rates, right? But Tanya, what is your experience with it?
You know what's funny is on other dating apps also, like, you know, that the women don't have to make the first move, I still find myself making the first move. I don't know why.
You go, Tanya.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know why, because I think it takes the pressure off the guys, and then they don't have to think of some, like, you know, whatever clever, you know, I just say whatever I want to say, and then it's like an easy, open conversation.
It really does, and for whatever reason, dating apps, you know, they do become almost a numbers game, and if a man is constantly making the first move, women almost become inundated with messages on dating apps, and that's what we wanted to prevent, was that feeling of, you know, of being overwhelmed. And actually, you know, honestly, we wanted to change the whole mentality where women are sent photos and messages that are very aggressive and uncomfortable to receive and feel like harassment online.
Yeah. I mean, everyone wants to avoid that. Well, 99.9% of people want to avoid that.
And when you were on Bumble, Dean, you like that. You like that the women made the first move, right?
Well, I think it's been a common theme is that I think Tanya and Becca both seem to think that I love it when a girl makes the first move. And I mean, to be honest, it's nice. It like kind of validates in this realm, at least it validates the match that you guys have when the girl is matching with you and then still wanting to reach out on top of that. But Alex, you mentioned a couple times like the importance of the introduction. So from your side of things, on like the backside, what do you kind of see as the most appropriate introduction for a girl to say to a guy in terms of the dating realm? And I think Erica, who's one of the producers in here, was saying that she likes to send a GIF. Or is it a GIF?
GIF.
GIF.
I actually think it's the correct pronunciation is GIF from what I've heard.
I've heard that, but I fight it because it stands for graphics. Graphics interface. Yes. So it's got to be G.
GIF.
I totally agree with you. Somebody, you know, I'm one of the older members on our team at 30, and somebody on the team was trying to explain to me that it was a GIF, and I was like, I've got to say GIF for me.
No, I agree.
A GIF is a great option. I think, you know, I think a GIF really does, as we move forward, not GIF, a GIF really does help send through personality. I think also playing off somebody's profile, I think, you know, especially for men and women, it's really important to fill out your bio and give information. And I think that you can almost put a hook in your bio of a conversation starter as well. And listen, when we first launched Bumble, we were having to not only change the fact that people thought that meeting online and dating apps were the whole concept behind it was a little bit seedy and a little bit, you know, people were embarrassed to use it, but also women weren't making the first move. And so we were having to almost retrain the way that women like teach a new concept that you can make the first move. So I'm always proud of a woman who does, if it's even just like an emoji, like a waving hand or a hi, but I think there's so much more that you can, there's so many places you can go from there. And I think the most important part of a first move is you get to direct the way that you want the conversation to go. And I always say that you can almost move into a first date and ask the questions that you would be asking on a first date in chat on Bumble. And then that way, but you show up for the first date in person for your second date. So I think that you can begin asking a question, playing off of somebody's bio, using a GIF, anything like that really does just help you separate from a hi or a hello.
Yeah, it definitely helps build a level of comfortability. I think I was telling Erica earlier that whenever a girl would message me just hey to start, I think that I would probably respond to those maybe 1% of the time.
No way.
Yeah, there's no personalization. It just all it takes is literally 30 or what, a half of a second to type out hey and then send 30, it and move to
30
another,
seconds.
Move, well, so, I don't know who we're talking to. Yeah. But I'm just saying that it's not personal and it takes. She's probably literally doing that to like every other guy that she matched with, and that's just kind of why I never really had any interest in starting a conversation with someone.
What was your Bumble profile like?
Bumble profile, actually,
what'd you write in it?
I remember what the bio said. It was just, you know, regular pictures of me off of my Instagram or something. I think my bio caption said, "If you don't want to message me first, that's fine. I get that, but you're wrong, and I hate you." It was a playoff of It was a playoff of the Workaholics line.
Very aggressive.
Yeah. Aggressive.
So, what do you think of that, Alex?
So
is that
women
work?
Who got it really got it.
Yeah, it was a play off of the Workaholics line where he's like, if you don't want to date me, that's fine. I get that, but you're wrong and I hate you. So I just twisted it into being dating app relevant. And then, I mean, obviously there were a couple girls that maybe didn't get the reference, but the ones that did, it kind of allowed us to have a common ground to build
on. Can I say one thing about that?
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious that you had that as your bio and then weren't responding when people were.
Yeah, that's actually, I didn't even think of that. That's funny. And again, a year and a half, 2 years ago, I was 24. I was young. I wasn't really sure what I was doing. I was just testing the dating app waters. But that is.
I mean, it's new territory. We're all doing. I mean, this is uncharted waters for everyone, right?
Yeah.
People are getting the hang of it now, but it is. It's just a new way of meeting, and it's. And I think, too, if you were saying women, you know, saying, hey, that's new territory for women to say hi and make the first move. For a lot of women, that's extremely outside of their comfort zones. And I think that any time that a woman makes the first move is really exciting. But it is. We're all kind of trying to navigate the new world of dating. And I think that another point to a woman just saying hey or hi, like, I think majority of people nowadays are, you know, going after their careers and are just busy in general. So sometimes it does get hard to be creative. And I think that's where gifts come in.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think that you were talking about earlier how you guys have done a great job of kind of eliminating the stigma attached to dating apps. And it seems to be more widely socially acceptable now, whereas like 2 or 3 years ago, it was kind of like almost taboo to talk about. Like, you didn't really tell your friends that you were on Bumble or Tinder or any of these apps. But now it seems like everyone that's on it is a lot more comfortable to be like, yeah, I'm on it. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to, you know.
You were using dating apps like at 11 p.m. when none of your friends were around, like in the privacy of your room, so nobody knew.
I would just use it when I was at my office and I was, I don't know, trying to procrastinate and put off working. It was a great outlet.
People can still use it that way too. Just don't tell your boss that we say that.
Right. And if my former boss is listening, I'm sorry, but I just wasn't super into the work I guess I was doing at the time. Where did the name Bumble come from?
Bumble came from the concept of a queen bee, right? So a woman being in control. That's where Bumble came from. And then something else that I think was really clever when we were starting to talk about Bumble and playing around with it, it's the idea that when you date, like to bumble is to stumble about awkwardly, and that's kind of what dating is. You're stumbling around trying to catch your footing, and I think that that's also a really clever play on the word bumble.
So it's bumble. It's bumble as a verb, I guess, not as an adjective.
Yes. And actually, I think, you know, there was a time Whitney actually spoke about this, but we were in my mom's kitchen one time in Dallas and talking about the name Bumble, and my mom was like, "Be the queen bee, find your honey," and Whitney was like, "Yes." So that's it. So that's, I mean, we realized how many ways there were, like, words to play on with it and ways to encourage women really to take ownership of their life.
That's great. And I actually have a couple of friends that I've worked over at Bumble, and just from like the inside perspective, they've all said very, very positive things of like work atmosphere and environment and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of off topic, but
that's awesome. Maybe we can talk offline about who your friends are, because we try to maintain that kind of a workplace environment. So that's really great to hear.
And especially with all the growth you guys have seen, I'm sure it must be difficult to do, but it's good that you guys are still doing it.
We are having so much fun. I mean, our team, I know that we're talking more about, you know, just dating and how to use Bumble, but our team is, I mean, we have a spectacular team of people, and everybody who joins, I've been amazed. We've had a lot of growth, especially in the past 6 months, and so many incredible minds have joined our teams, and it's just all of the new creativity and collaboration that's really exciting, and We really do try to treat each other with respect. Nobody's ideas are more important or valuable than anybody else's on our team.
Hey, I have another question for you. So back in the day when I did have Bumble, I would notice that if I wasn't on for a couple of days, like the first 10 profiles I came across were profiles that were almost automatic, like swipe rights. Do you guys have like a specific algorithm? And maybe, I don't know, maybe this is IP that you're not willing to share, or maybe you're not allowed to share, but are like the first 10 profiles of every time you log onto the app, like the more attractive profiles, or like maybe like the profiles that you see more swipe rights on? So that's kind of why you put them at the top of the queue.
No, not necessarily. I think that it's more about like who, it's more of a compatibility thing.
Okay. All right. That was just a question that it was something I always kind of thought about.
What advice do you have for a profile picture? I know that's a very stressful thing for some people because that's really all you have to go on if you're just doing a swipe run.
Right. And it's going back to, this also goes back to making the first move. I am so about being yourself. I think that you should lay your cards on the table and just be who you are, and you're going to attract the right person. But I think that your first, that being said, I'm about to give advice on what your first profile picture should be, but I think that it should be approachable. You know, there are sometimes people who will have their first pictures be them like on a motorcycle, you know, very like intimidating. And if that is who you are, then let that shine. But if you are more, you know, you like witty banter and you're more laid back and you're really more about like fronting, I don't think that you should really front somebody who you're not. So I think it's important to show the most approachable version of yourself. And I always recommend having a photo of you, like your favorite current photo of you, not a photo of you from like 6 months ago when you tried blue hair. You know, just make it who you are now. And that person should be smiling and approachable. And I think we tend to see the most swipe rights with that.
It's funny that you mentioned that. I have a friend who was talking to us recently about how she's not having the most success on these dates. And then we like looked at her profile and we're like, well, yeah, of course you have all of the pictures from when you were in college and you're 29 now. So it's like, they're expecting something different. And not that that's obviously the driving factor to a successful relationship, but it's like, I mean, you want to go into a date with at least an idea of the current person that you're trying to meet. Yeah.
I also think it's really important too. Like it's amazing if you have a bunch of photos of you modeling, or if that's like a hobby or your profession, but keep in mind when you're wanting to go out with somebody and sit down and have a coffee or have a drink. And sometimes you're like, if it's a photo of you that's too stylized, it can be intimidating. So I think, you know, whereas like an Instagram is a place where you really can show off like incredibly gorgeous stylized photos of yourself, you want this to be a place where people feel like they can actually approach you.
Tanya, you taking
notes? Like, it also goes down to like, I mean, in real life, you know, when you're out at a bar or you're out with your friends, you know, if you are sitting there and you aren't being very open and you aren't smiling and you aren't being approachable, sometimes it's difficult to start conversations that way, which is nothing to say if you're more introverted. I mean, that's the beauty of Bumble, is that you can find somebody in a much easier way if you are introverted.
I was thinking about this today while I was flying back from Sundance, and I consider myself an introvert, and I would sometimes walk around with earbuds in my ear without music playing because I think that when you have earbuds in, you're less approachable. Yeah. And so like I'd be like at work with earbuds and no music playing just because I didn't want anyone to like come up and talk to me. Is that kind of, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
That's a good
method.
I've done that too.
I've done that too, but I usually have music on.
Oh, well, I mean, teach their own, I guess.
Which also is scary because Bumble's based in Austin, Texas, and that's always like terrifying to me when I'm in like London or New York and I'm walking around with music on. I'm always so afraid walking around on the streets that way. Not the most intelligent.
Well, as long as you can get away with it, I guess. But Alex, thank you so much for calling in and I guess helping us and helping our listeners improve their Bumble profiles.
Absolutely.
Any parting words before we jump off the phone?
Yeah, I think just the most important thing is to be yourself and to Bumble with an open mind. I think, you know, a lot of times we go into, like, you log on and you expect to be looking for a certain type of person, right? You think that you have an idea of what you're looking for ahead of time, but maybe you match with somebody who ends up truthfully being one of your best friends, or maybe they connect you to the person who is the love of your life. And I just think that you never know what, you know, you can't really tell what you're looking for. And sometimes in friendship and dating and in business. And I think that if you keep an open mind and don't limit yourself, that you the options are limitless of who you can meet. And it's really just about expanding your world.
I love it. It's great to have another avenue to meet people. I mean, just such an interesting time
it's
to be
hard,
alive.
Says the guy who wears headphones in his ear.
School.
Well,
exactly.
Selectively.
Says the, okay, and that's
after you graduate, it's hard.
Right.
This you know, to meet new people.
This is coming from the guy that would prefer to stay in on a Friday night and a Saturday night. And so it's nice, if you're a single person, to be able to kind of have the experience of meeting new people without having to go out into social settings. If that makes sense.
Or see them in
person. Or to be able to meet new people while you're eating pizza watching Netflix. Exactly. The greatest.
Exactly. All right, Alex. Well, thank you so much for calling in again. We definitely appreciate the time. And we will hopefully continue to have listeners who use Bumble and reap the benefits of it.
Absolutely. Thank you all for having me. This was a great conversation.
All right. Take care.
All right. You too. Bye.
Can we go back to the fact that you are like, what's wrong with the world right now?
What do you mean?
Nobody's,
oh, how I just like to be closed off and
yeah,
turned off.
Yeah, like nobody, I can walk down. I like actually did an experiment where I would walk to like my local farmer's market or whatever. And I'd say good morning to every single person that walked by. And so many people did not respond. And I'm like, what is going on?
See, okay, and this is different because I'm an incredibly affectionate person when I run into anyone on the street. But it's like there are times where you want to be like in your own head and closed off and all that kind of stuff. I actually got at Sundance. I mean, obviously there's like movie stars everywhere, but for some reasons people still wanted to like approach me and say hi to me and like have a conversation with me.
Cool.
And I almost kind of got in trouble for this before, where when I meet someone new that's excited to meet me, I like to create as much of an impression as I possibly can. So I'll have like a 5 to 10 minute conversation with whoever that is, and with whoever it is that I'm with kind of sometimes gets annoyed by me investing my time in strangers on the street instead of investing time in the relationship that
I think that's cool, though, because that's the only time they're going to have with you.
Yeah.
And that's,
you
know? That's the way that I justify it, too. I'm like five minutes with meeting someone that's excited and will put a smile on their face and all that kind of stuff is nothing. And then, you know, obviously, like we'll still have time to spend together after this conversation.
I had a friend visit from Wisconsin that I hadn't seen in many, many years, and she brought her daughter out here. And I said, oh, do you guys know The Bachelor? You know Dean? They're like, oh, yeah, we know Dean. We'll come and say hi to Dean. And they did. And he couldn't have been nicer and kinder. And he spent maybe not 10 minutes, but he spent like 2 minutes with him. But he made them feel so special.
Aww.
He was asking about them and all these questions. He really just made them feel important and like the only people in the room. And I think that was really kind.
Thanks, Mark.
Dean's a good guy.
Well, really cool. And the point to that is, yes, I am a lot of what's wrong with the world because I like to avoid social settings. But I, at the same time, when I'm in them, I do my best to make sure I'm very present and, you know, show interest.
Feel the same as
people.
You.
Huh?
I said, I feel the same as you.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting when you said that, because to me, you are very extroverted. Like, you're so happy-go-lucky, you're so engaging, and you're so, like,
yeah,
such a people person. That
I got into this conversation actually just recently as well. I define myself as an introvert, but other people call me an extrovert because I guess I'm able to survive or keep my head above in social settings or head above water. But I think I would define it as what you're doing when you're by yourself, or say it's like Friday at 8 p.m. and what you're motivated by is what defines you, whether introvert or extrovert. So if it's Friday at 8 p.m. and you want to stay in and that's consistent, then that makes you an introvert. But if you're Friday at 8 p.m. and you want to go out, that would say that you're more extroverted. That's just kind of a way, like when you're acting for yourself and not for other people, kind of that sheds light on whether you like to be in those situations.
Interesting.
And like I said, I'd rather spend a Friday night in watching movies, eating pizza, than going out to a bar. And
what celebrities did you see at Sundance?
We saw Paul Rudd the first night.
Oh, cool.
And then Peter Dinklage on Sunday night. I went up to Peter Dinklage and I asked him for a picture and he said no.
No!
The one time I've ever asked anyone for a picture, he just said no, but you can shake my hand. And I was like, all right.
Well, he told me this in the car and I thought, I heard an interview with Lawrence Fishburne once and he said he'd much rather spend like, have a moment of human connection than, you know, just this picture. That
see, but I'd rather have a picture
passing.
That I could post on my
I know
Instagram.
What you're saying. I was saying maybe if we think about it from Peter's perspective, you know.
And
I'm sure he gets asked for pictures.
He's very easily identifiable, so I'm sure he gets asked for pictures.
Yeah,
and
but I wonder if that's part of his sensitivity towards it, is that it's maybe he's been goofed on in the past and that sort of a thing,
yeah.
And maybe that's why he's sensitive about that.
Yeah. But it was funny going from my experience where it's, I would never say no to someone asking for a picture, and then I just get like the only time I've ever asked someone for a picture, I just get shut down. So
I bet it's overwhelming for him though, since Game of Thrones.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
You should ask more people, just everyone that you see.
Here's some emails.
I don't like that.
I don't either, but Emails, and these are continuing with the theme of dating apps. This is Jared. I'm 22 and officially an adult. I have a 9-to-5 job that I love. I feel like I just want to find that one person in my life, but now I hate dating. I've really never had a long relationship or even dated much. It went on Bumble, and now suddenly I have too much going on. Wow. I'm talking to 4 girls right now, which is very weird for me. I just want to figure out who could be my potential partner, but I feel so guilty dating multiple girls. Help, I'm suddenly too good at dating. Thank you.
I love how this episode has been just one ongoing Bumble ad.
Well, this sounds like a nightmare to me.
Of talking to 4 girls at the same time?
Just the entire like structure of how this would happen makes me anxious.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I think there are 2 very different types of people in the world. There's people that can date multiple people at once, and there's people that like to date one person at a time. I personally like to do one at a time. I can barely remember some, you know what I mean? Like on a first date, I think it's hard to remember. I could imagine doing that with 4 other people.
Yeah.
But I do think that it is a numbers game, you know, like you go through people faster and you're bound to click with somebody quicker.
Well, he's texting all 4 of them. Is that what he's saying though? He's texting 4 of them at the same time?
He said he's actually dating multiple girls.
Yeah. He says I'm talking to 4 girls.
Talking to.
I feel so guilty dating multiple girls. So I feel like he's saying that when you're on a dating app, you're going to meet for coffee or whatever, and suddenly you're at date 2 or 3 with multiple girls, which is kind of an uncomfortable thing.
Yeah. That's,
and then it gets to the point where you're at date 8 with one and date 2 with another, and then how do you prioritize?
And the other one, they find out, they're like, what the heck?
Yeah. I get the discomfort, but I also think that this is kind of how it is right now.
Right. Yeah. I have no idea, so I'm just like,
yeah.
What?
And dating is so ill-defined now, too. I feel like you go to coffee twice and you're dating that person
right,
at that point?
Right, totally.
Well, that's, it feels like high school again because it'd be like, oh, these people are dating. I was like, does that mean they're like going out? Like,
right.
Going out was the whole thing.
So maybe that's what we should, maybe that should be a 2018 initiative, is to more granularly define what dating is. Set some more barriers and some more structure in the dating word, the word of dating, to make it more clear for all of us.
You should do that on the next episode. Like, actually spell it out. Like, this is dating. This is seeing each other. This is talking.
Create like parameters for whatever.
Yeah,
things.
Like a Venn diagram. Not a Venn diagram.
Probably not a Venn diagram. No. But I think in this, he's not dating these women, right? He's seeing them.
He's dating. He's going on dates with them. He's dating them.
Okay.
What advice do we have for him?
Ooh.
First of all, I also have to say I love when guys email. And
that is nice.
Call in. All that kind of stuff. It's nice to know that there's some males out there that are either listening to the podcast or, well, I don't know.
And also a sensitive guy like this who is bothered by the fact that he's dating multiple people. Yeah. Where some guys are high-fiving about that sort of thing.
He's still dating 4 or 5 people at the same time.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, this sounds like Mr. Wilshire.
What's that?
I was going on dates with this guy that I met on Wilshire Boulevard, like literally car to car, and he asked me for my number and like
at a stoplight.
Wow,
that is a move.
It's a move. So I was like, I wanted to encourage. Like I was like, that's
what kind of car was he driving?
I'm really bad with cars. I don't know, but it was a nice car.
Okay,
yeah. And so got my number and we went out. We had a really good time and I was like, wow, I can't believe like actually I'm into this guy that like I met on Wilshire Boulevard. What the heck? So we had like 2 dates. Everything's going great. Like kissed him. Everything was like going good. And then he lives in West Hollywood and I'm like on the west side of town and I'm having lunch with Becca. And I'm supposed to see this guy that night. We're supposed to get drinks and have dinner that night. Okay. So it's like Saturday night and Becca and I are having lunch and we're sitting at this bench and who walks right in front of our bench?
The guy.
Mr. Wilshire holding hands.
Oh, no.
With some other chick.
Whoa.
Mind you, this is the second time I'd seen him. I saw him actually driving down Sunset Boulevard and I saw him on a date literally on a restaurant.
That's weird.
That is weird.
With this different girl than the one that he's holding hands with?
Different girl than the one he's holding
hands
with. Holy cow. So I have experienced dating a Jared and I think he needs to quit doing it while he's ahead and just pick one.
And that's in LA too, in like one of the biggest cities in the world where you're not supposed to run into people randomly like that. And so if you're doing it in like a small town, again, obviously we don't know where Jared lives, but growing up in a small town in Colorado, like there's no way you could possibly do that. And even if in LA, I feel like you can't get away with it.
Uh-huh.
Well, I just think too, with 4 at once, like I feel like the way this works doesn't necessarily mean you're good at it. You know what I mean? Because you're not developing the conversation between, and I just feel like it'd be hard to compartmentalize your time and your brain in such a way that you develop a meaningful relationship with. I mean, obviously it was probably winnowed down to one person, but
I mean, I have friends that use these apps that will have like a a roster of like three or four girls that they're talking to at one time, and maybe one drops off. They get back on the app and get like a fourth or fifth one put back on.
So
there's
definitely,
a bad side to these types of apps, where it's just a constant churn of new people that they're being introduced to. And I mean, maybe like Alex said on the phone just now, it is a numbers game in a lot of ways. And maybe they're just dating until one of them sticks, and then that stickiness turns into a
I don't feel like he's doing anything wrong here. I'm not. I really don't know that
he is. I don't think he's doing anything wrong.
But I think he should maybe pick two and just stick to two. I feel like four is a lot.
If four is wrong, isn't two also wrong?
Well, but two, he can be honest and say, like, I'm not just dating you. I'm dating somebody else. Honesty.
It's better when it's on TV. And it's
I think you're right. As long as he's not lying to anybody, yeah. I don't think he's doing anything wrong here. And I think at some point, one of these girls will capture his heart, and that will make it an easy decision to go in that direction.
Yeah. Hopefully. Unless you get down to like 7 or 8 dates and you have three people, they're all like, these are all pretty cool. Yeah.
I mean, at 22, I was doing the same thing as him. I can't. It obviously didn't work out for me positively, but I still, I mean, I was 22 having fun. So if he just wants to have fun, it really depends what he's looking for.
True.
Like, I wouldn't advise doing that now.
It doesn't sound like he's having fun.
Yeah, you're right. It really doesn't.
But yeah, he's like beating himself up over it.
Jared, I feel for you.
Yeah. All right, what else do we have?
I love Jared.
Megan, first, I listen every week. I love shifting away from Bachelor in Paradise and Dean's personal struggle to the more all-around dating advice and input.
Good. I like that too.
Yeah. My question is on how to navigate the awkward waters of dating apps. I live in New Orleans. I'm 30. I've been single for a long time. I'm a PhD student and very dedicated to my studies. Happily independent. I have hobbies, but it would be nice to have someone to share my time with. I try to meet people in person, social groups, fitness groups, try to go out with my single girlfriends, the places guys would be, but still nothing has stuck. And I feel like in person, people don't try. This is interesting. I feel like in person, people don't try as much because they can just go home and swipe from their bed.
Wow.
I feel like people are shifting away from meeting in person to meeting on apps, and it's awkward. My issue is that I'm on Bumble. I match with guys. I try to message most people I match with, but 90% of guys do not respond. Do you have any advice on dating app etiquette and how to really grab a guy's attention? Everyone has the typical advice. Say something cute, quirky. Don't just say, hey. Ask something about their profile. Comment on a pic. But it all feels awkward and disingenuous. Help. Dating in the modern world sucks. That's another possible title for this show. But I find this interesting because you match with them, meaning they swiped right on you, and then the guy doesn't respond. I hear this complaint a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I think we were talking earlier about how I didn't respond to a lot of people that I matched with. A lot of guys go with the shotgun approach where they're not even looking at the phone and they're just swiping right. Swipe.
Oh my gosh, that's horrifying.
It's not great.
Why would you do that?
It's like fishing, right? You're just casting a wide net.
Yeah.
You can still cast a wide net of girls that you like.
But it does the process for you. Rather than you going, okay, no, yes, no, you say yes to everything, and whoever pops up,
right.
It's an even lazier way of doing a dating app. It is.
It's a lazy way of doing a lazy chore kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
that's incredible. I've never heard that before.
But I think even though she said that she gets this advice a lot, I think the very first, introduction is super important. And it doesn't even have to be like something interesting about their profile, but like maybe like a funny pun or a cheesy joke.
This just blows my mind.
It's
crazy that it seems to come for full circle from going like you don't want to say a cheesy pickup line to like now you should text a cheesy pickup line or a pun to open
up a
conversation.
Better to find, like, if they say they're a Grey's Anatomy fan and you say, oh my gosh, have you seen this week's episode yet? Isn't that a better way to get a conversation going? No?
I think so. I mean, it seems you find a common point of interest and be like, hey, I saw that you like this.
A mutual interest, and you ask about it. Tanya, you're giving me that look you give me sometimes.
I don't know. I think I wouldn't mind that like in the conversation, not the opening line. You don't want them to seem kind of like stalkerish.
What would be your ideal opening line, then?
I mean, I enjoy Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday? Oh. So they only could text you on a Saturday?
No, or like Happy Tuesday or whatever it is. Just like, you know, positive vibes. Like, you know, hey.
I think like a quick-witted, like funny joke or response, that's what, at least for me, keeps my attention and would keep me interested in a situation.
So, like, what's a funny joke? Yeah.
So, I remember, my roommate, have you ever seen Masters of None, where he's always asks, like, I'm going to Whole Foods, can I get you something? That one got overused a lot after that season aired, but that's like funny because it's like, oh, yeah, you're funny because
that's
you're
a
going
good opening line.
How
would you respond to that, Tanya, if you got an opening line, I'm going to Whole Foods, can I get you something?
I wouldn't get the joke and I'd be like, delete.
But it's better than
Happy
seeing
Tuesday.
A head.
Happy Tuesday.
I think that one that I used in the past was like if again I use it primarily as very lighthearted, right? So like I just wanted to like I don't know see what potentially could come from anything. So one that my roommate and I used was like, did you hear about the explosion at the cheese factory? And they'd be like, oh my god, no, the explosion at the cheese factory? And I'd go, yeah, apparently there was debris everywhere. And then it just like sparks like a stupid conversation. That's like a like one pun after another.
That like and physically it really, hurt me.
Well, that's the point. It's supposed to be very cheesy.
But then some people aren't going to get the Brie reference, and they're just going to be like,
well, then that's how you weed out the ones that you don't want to be dating anyway.
You don't know like, cheese?
Oh, that's a Gouda joke. Right. And you go back with it. It goes back and forth.
It's
like,
funny.
I don't want to be a Munster.
all bad things.
It's fun. I think it's good to establish an inside joke early on because then it allows like a fallback if something gets like weird or uncomfortable. You can always fall back on like,
back to cheese.
Until eventually they're like, who else did you use that cheese joke on? Tell me.
It's not bad.
That's not bad.
Let's maybe make a list of those. I kind of like that.
Of cheese jokes or just
puns? Or just like funny things you can start out with.
Erica, you've been using GIFs. I believe Alex mentioned GIFs, but Erica had some success with a GIF on Bumble.
I think it's going fine.
I like GIFs. I'm a big fan.
So you get response.
What? Which one did you use?
The sup seal. Yeah. It's like shimmying in the snow, and then it says sup.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
My favorite one is there's an animated penguin that waves and says hello.
Oh, that's cute.
It's very cute.
How would you feel about that, Tanya? GIFs.
I'd like a GIF.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just not understanding these jokes. Now that I like think back on some of my opening lines, I'm like, maybe I just should have Googled them or something.
And that's the thing, too. I feel like sometimes people take it too seriously.
Yeah.
And so if you're able to like make light of everything, then it kind of is like, okay, like this is going to be a fun conversation. Instead of like, oh, we're going to go on a date and potentially fall in love and get married for the rest of our life. Obviously, everyone wants that. But by like putting so much pressure on so early on, too.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the worst ones you've gotten?
Like something about Starburst. It was something like if I was eating Starburst, you'd be my red one or something. And I was like, maybe that was a joke. What? I didn't understand. Yeah. I deleted.
I mean, that's not bad.
Ugh. You'd be my red one.
Because everyone loves the red Starburst.
And that's then there was one that was
being
like
very presumptuous.
Breakfast for dinner. It was something about like
how do you like your eggs in the morning or
something?
Breakfast
like that? For dinner? Question mark.
Definitely
I was like,
no.
What? I'm like missing something.
Well,
now.
I think you should put yourself in their position and think maybe they're just trying something different to get your attention.
Well, that's what I was thinking with this question. I imagine a lot of people that sign up that are the guys are also like kind of introverted or having trouble connecting. Mm-hmm. And so they get messaged from these women and they're also being like, oh God, someone actually messaged me. You know, because you have people that are out there trying to get everyone, but then also you have people who are probably like, I don't know how to respond either.
And when it's such a numbers game and the net is cast so wide, I think the best thing that you can do is do something that's unique to make you stand out.
I'm going to rethink this.
Hopefully that was helpful for Megan.
I mean, Tanya, I'm sure you're obviously a beautiful person, and I'm sure that that is the first thing that they notice. But
thanks, Dean.
I mean, you should do more than just saying hey.
Okay, you know what? I am going to step up my game, but I also think some advice to give Megan is, aside from dating apps, I think asking your friends to set you up is a really good call.
You're leaving dating apps and just getting set up.
Well, not
friends.
Leaving them, but like in addition to.
Okay.
Asking you don't think that's good advice?
Well, she's a PhD student. I imagine she has a lot of people in smart the friends. Academic field.
So,
you know?
Do you I won't name her, but so do you guys know Nas? She used to be a producer. She's
the
like,
rapper?
She's like Ashy Eye's best friend.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she's single and she's like looking to like be introduced to someone. She like asked me, she's like, do you have any friends that you can introduce me to? And I was thinking about it. I was like, I don't want to introduce her to any of my friends because all my friends are morons.
Well, that's fine. And that's totally fine. Then you don't
Except
set them
you,
up.
Except you, Taylor, by okay. the way. That's not
oh, he's
the single friends that I have. Yeah.
Okay.
But that's fine. Then you don't set her up. But if they have somebody, like a lot of people don't. And they're like, no, like I wouldn't want to set you up with any of these freaks. But a lot of people do. They're like, oh my gosh, yeah, I do have somebody that I could set you up with. And I think people really like to do that, especially for their friends.
Yeah. But then it gets awkward, though, when it doesn't work out.
If it doesn't work out.
Everyone keeps hanging out, and they're like, oh, hey.
That's the thing, too, especially because Naz is such an incredible person, so I would want to set her up with my most incredible friend. And I'm like, she's too good for all of my friends, by far.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, I can't do that.
Well, I'm glad that you care about her that much.
Yeah.
That's cool.
This is from a woman who calls herself First Date Blunder Woman. Oh. Hi, Dean. Hi, Mark. Anyone else is in the studio? I was having trouble finding guys that are mentally and physically attractive, especially when it comes to meeting guys from dating apps. It's tough to meet guys outside of the ugly bar scene or work. Recently, I went on a date with a guy I met on a dating app. I'm 21. He's 26. I had low expectations going into it. And surprisingly, it turned out so well. He would even say things of how he's so glad I wasn't a catfish and how he could tell we were going to get along when he looked into my eyes, blah, blah, blah. We talked about where we came from, the places we've traveled, and the goals for the future. He even asked to get drinks at a bar after dinner. I thought things were going great. We had so much chemistry, but I also haven't heard from him since the date. We kissed. It was electric. Why would I not hear from him? Did I read the signs incorrectly, or is he at a place with work and everything that he wouldn't want to pursue something? Thank you for your help. I suck at dating.
Maybe this is Jared, and he just has four other girls that he's doing the same thing with. I mean, that's the only thing that I could really think of.
I don't have a good feeling about this.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I think you felt that spark. I'm not sure he did.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's been a long time for me, but I just feel like in situations like this, it sucks. But I don't know, from the tone of it, the way it's being described, I think the best thing you could do is just try to forget about it, move on.
I don't even think forget about it. How wonderful.
About it, but
you went
like,
on a wonderful date. You had a great time. You had an electrifying kiss. Think of that as like a positive. Like you can have these feelings. Whatever. For some reason, you can never know what's going on with the guy. He might be dealing with family. I mean, I always go to like, it's never you, it's them.
Right.
But he might have family issues. He might be going through a lot of stress at work. He might have met somebody else and likes them better. You know, you don't ever know what's happening. But the fact that you were able to enjoy yourself and have a really great date, that's a good sign.
It is, and you'll learn from it.
Yeah.
Dating is a good thing to practice, even if it's not the one. And clearly he's not the one. And I don't think he's just too busy at work. I just don't think he's into it.
Yeah. I feel bad that it says blunder woman. Like, I don't think she did anything wrong.
You did
wrong.
Nothing right. wrong, of course.
I think she should continue to have low expectations, though.
Right. That was good.
That's my word of advice. Because that's that way. I mean, it's weird because she went from having low expectations to calling the kiss electric, and now she's upset about it. But if you kind of like maintain the low expectations until something actually like formulated from it.
I feel bad because she sounds like she's met a lot of frogs looking for a prince. Finally gets a guy. Okay, great. Finally gets to go out with a guy. Okay, great. It goes so well. Like she finally gets one.
She's 21 though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a good point.
When she's 22, she can go on The Bachelor just like Becca M.
there's a quote that this makes me think of, and it's I'm really trying to try not to mess this one up. It's
you never do these right.
Be open to the possibility, but not attached to the outcome.
Ooh, love
it. Oh, very nice, Tanya.
I think you got it.
Thank you. Yeah. I did get it. Because you're open to the possibility of a great relationship when you're going on a date, but you're not attached to the outcome. So if you don't hear from him again, fine.
Well, I think that also has to do with being present. Because so many people are like, date's going well.
Good job, Tanya.
A date's going well, and they're immediately like, oh, what are we going to do next date? Or what's the future going to be?
What are kids going to look like?
And it's like, slow down. Just be here.
Enjoy the moment. And by the way, she may have heard from him since she sent this email. Yeah. Who knows?
That's the hard thing for someone like a Jared, too, is if he's dating four or five girls on the same app at the same time, I'm sure he's probably the one that's responsible for deciding where to go for the dates. I'm sure he's probably like recycling a lot of the date ideas. Like that Master of None episode, he's like at the same bar every Tuesday, Thursday, Friday night, meeting a girl, doing the exact same thing over and over again. And that gets boring and redundant and old.
Do we need to watch this show? The second time you brought it up.
It's a good show. It's on Netflix.
Yeah?
With Aziz Ansari.
It covers like a lot of like the modern dating struggles.
It depends on how you feel about Aziz Ansari.
I'm down
this week. Are you okay with
this week?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I guess some stuff came out about it.
Stuff came out, but it was an interesting thing because it came out and then, you know, you see the headline you're like, oh, his career is over, just like every other career is over. And then you read the article and think, oh, well, this one's not quite as cut and dried as a Kevin Spacey or a Harvey Weinstein or all these other ones or a Louis C.K. This one's a little bit more her opinion, his opinion. What she says is, of course, valid and respected, and how she feels is legitimate. But is it should it cost him his career? To me, Aziz Ansari sounds like he was a bit of a dick on this date.
Right, which we've all experienced.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so many people are focused on like the legal bit of stuff with like the more extreme people, but now we have to move into like the social bit of like, are you being a considerate person? Are you considering the other person? Are you present, not thinking about only what you want?
And not defending Aziz Ansari at all, because I don't really know, and I think I should probably be more aware of pop culture and the things that are going on around in this.
I would read up about this one. This one was really
interesting. It's an interesting article, and everybody has a different opinion on it.
Thorny.
And the James Franco stuff, too.
That's an interesting one, too.
But I was just thinking, when The Bachelorette was airing, there was this girl that I dated for like 3 weeks in college was like commenting on all these posts or something, like saying like, oh, Dean's a bad guy. He like doesn't deserve any of this, all that kind of stuff. And I texted her. I was like, why are you like, what's wrong? Why are you so angry at me for not doing anything? She's like, when we dated in college, you were a jerk and you said this and did this. And I was like, we dated for 3 weeks. We went on 2 or 3 dates. It clearly didn't work out very well between the two of us. I was 20 years old. Like there's the fact that you're like remembering everything so horribly.
Right.
It just like it doesn't make sense. And so for maybe these people like Aziz Ansari or James Franco, again, I don't know what they did. I don't like, I'm not defending them by any means. But when people remember things, they tend to like exaggerate them a little bit and make them seem worse than they actually are.
Well, there's 3 sides to every story.
Your side, his side, and the truth kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly right. And maybe I'm remembering things through rose-colored glasses where I don't really think I ever had that negative of a relationship with anyone.
Right.
But when, I don't know, a sour girl that you took on 2 dates sees you on TV, she gets upset about something.
Totally.
I don't know.
Okay, one more. This is a good one. Sayer.
Sayer.
Lovely name.
Beautiful.
This week's topic was really interesting about breakups, and the first one with Ashley, it talked about long distance. I have been living in Madrid for the past 4 years, which has been really interesting for dating. Anyway, here's my question. I met my boyfriend last year. He was studying abroad in Madrid, where I was. He was from Germany, and he was my roommate. A week after we met, we were spending every night together, and the rest of the roommates were fine with it. When he had to go back home at the end of June, we had to talk about long distance and decided to try it. It's been surprisingly great. We see each other once a month. We talk a lot. We just spent Christmas together and had good serious talks about next year. Here's my question. Should I move to Germany to be with him? He has 2 more years of school to finish his master's. I'll be done with my master's in international education at the end of July, and I hope to find a job at an international school. If I can find a job in Germany, that's great. If not, what do I do? That's Sayer.
Well, don't take our advice from
him. I think move to Germany. I think most of these situations, I would say, don't do it. Do what's best for you, and if they're along for the ride and if they can fit into what's best for you, great. But honestly, this one seems perfect.
Yeah. She has she's going to have a master's in international education.
Yeah.
I feel like,
yeah, it's like
go for
it's
it.
Like,
in that case.
It's like he's giving her the pie and the spoon.
What?
Is that not a thing?
What?
I don't think that's a thing.
Oh, the classic pine spoon. Dude.
You had it. You had that one expression. You couldn't just leave well enough alone.
That was going to be someone's Bumble opening.
It's like when Costanza would always leave the room on a high note. That's it. I'm done. Move to Germany. Germany's economy is doing well. You can get a job as a teacher out there if that's what you're looking for.
And you can always move home.
You can learn a second language.
I don't know why not. It sounds like once you graduate, you're a bit of a free agent anyway.
Correct.
You can go wherever you want in the world with that degree.
Yeah.
It's not like she's in a job, in a great job, up for promotion. Like, this is kind of her time to make a move.
I like to tell this story. When I moved to Los Angeles, my current wife, girlfriend at the time, we'd only been together 6 months, and I knew I was moving when we met. So from day one, we knew that we got 6 months here. Let's make the most of it, because in end of February, I'm gone. And we had an amazing 6 months, and we felt very much in love, and it was very, very difficult to leave. But we never said we're breaking up, and we never said we're going to try long distance. We just didn't really say. So I came out to California. She was still in Wisconsin, and we would talk a couple times a week, see how things were going. And then she said to me, hey, my aunt and uncle live in Huntington Beach, Southern California. They've given me the offer that I can stay with them so I can go out there and we can be together. Now, what she wanted from me was, yahoo! And sadly, I have to admit, that wasn't my reaction, and I'll tell you why. Because I'd been trying to get over her for a good month and a half, 2 months at this point. Trying to put my mind on other things, trying to move on with my life. And the other feeling was, if she moves out here, there are 2 ways for this to end. We get married, we've only been together 6 months, or it ends really badly, and her family hates me, pulled her across the country, and now she goes back to Wisconsin. It was really scary for me that those were the only 2 outcomes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, long story short, she came out to visit for a week, and it was the greatest week ever, and then I was all on board, and I'm so happy she did, because we've been together now for 20 years.
Oh, wow.
But Anyway, I feel like it may scare him a bit that you're lifting up your life and moving to another part of the world for him, because that puts a lot of pressure on him and on the relationship. That's what scared me so much. But I also just think that if you can go anywhere in the world, why wouldn't you go to where this guy is? And you can spin it with him however you want. Like, no, I got this great job. It's just kind of right near you, and that's going to be okay. And even if it doesn't work out, I've got my thing, you've got your thing, and it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it doesn't work out, she's in Germany with tons of other people, you know.
Yeah.
Very well educated.
That's funny. You just exactly described a situation that I had, too. It's like there's two things that could happen of the relationship. You either get married or it ends horribly. And you don't want, I mean, obviously you want to get married 20 years and have it end that, like that, but it's just like a daunting idea to even like come to terms with and be like.
Well, yeah, because she was 19.
Right.
I was 26. Okay. So that's, and so mentally we're at about the same level of maturity.
Sure.
And so neither one of us is ready to get married. So that added to some of the fear too. Right.
And just like the idea of someone moving somewhere for you is kind of scary as well. Because you kind of almost feel like you might let them down a little bit.
Yeah. Well, my girlfriend moved from New York to be with me in California, or here, I guess. Mm-hmm. So
did you feel pressure with that?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I just want everything to work out, you know, like career-wise. And so, I mean, it's such a, you know, you never know if it's going to happen or not, and you work really hard at it, but I am positive. I remain positive, so hopefully it works out, and I think she's still happy, so that's good.
Well, 4 years together?
4 years and 3 months.
Change.
20th, on the 20th, so.
So it's kind of getting towards that time, I'm thinking.
Yeah, when are you going to pop the question?
well, we don't talk about that.
Come on. Mark and I, Tanya and Ethan, are all pouring their souls out on.
I poured my soul out. I mean, you know, I've been here. We've been talking. It's been fun.
Okay.
Well, I proposed that 4 years, just for the
record.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So did I.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
4 years in?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I was waiting for a proposal at 4 years, though.
Have you two discussed it?
Yes.
Have you looked at rings together?
No.
That's good. No. I don't like that.
The shopping for a ring together?
Yeah, I think that's on you.
Well, if I were to do that, I don't think I would ask. Yeah.
Yeah, it should be, you know, maybe surprise is the wrong word, but something of a surprise when you actually decide to do it. She should be surprised.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what I think that we didn't get enough of was name suggestions for the podcast. I still stand by Help Dating Sucks with Dean Ungler.
Oh,
I like the modern dating one.
Let's see. Cassie says, what if you just call it Dating Etc. with Dean?
Wait, it's supposed to, you're changing the name?
Yes.
He wants to change the name. The powers that be may not let him change the name.
Help, I suck at dating. Okay. And Help, dating sucks?
Yeah, that's what I suggested.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, but again, maybe after Winter Games airs, we could get a special someone to come in and talk about how much I really do suck at dating.
Oh, I'd like that. I think that would be great.
If we get to that point.
Well, that's your job, to keep it going until Winter Games airs, because that'll be a real letdown if it doesn't.
2018
goals. Or it'll be more entertaining.
Let's set some loftier expectations than that.
Yeah.
Let's just say in this hypothetical situation, I would think that things are going very well.
Good.
Cute.
But this is all hypothetically.
Hypothetically,
guys.
Great. We're hypothetically happy for you.
I'm hypothetically happy for myself too.
I'm so hypothetically happy.
I'm
for
legitimately
you.
Happy no matter what.
Thanks, Taylor.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll do it for episode 15 of Help I Suck at Dating. If you have any listener emails, any stories you want to share with us, submit them to isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. That's isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com, because there's two ads in there. I didn't want to confuse you. Thanks again to Taylor for coming in studio.
Thanks, Dean. Nice to hang out again. I'm excited.
Yes.
We're friends.
Wait, you jumped off the screen. All right. So, yeah, thanks to Alex for talking about Bumble a little bit, telling us about some profile tips, maybe some pictures and all that kind of stuff. And a big thank you to a woman who doesn't get nearly enough credit around here, the amazing Erica Sullivan.
Yay!
She's behind the scenes every day, smile on her face. She's just a real gem and a real peach to have around.
Yes, she is.
Peach.
And if you get a sup seal from her on Bumble, you should respond, because she's fun.
Do you like when they respond with gifts, or do you want them to respond with words?
If you respond with a gift, then you get kind of stuck in this weird gif off.
It's a gift.
Yeah, it's
someone has to put an end to it eventually. All right, well, that'll do it for episode 15 of Help I Suck at Dating. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week. Maybe
Happy
I'll
Tuesday.
Suck a little bit less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating with Dean Ungler on iHeartRadio, or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.